Hi, everybody. This is the Bob and Ray Show, and Pierre Chateaubriand, our conductor, is rehearsing the great Bob and Ray Orchestra in their new theme. That is Bob and Ray's new theme, which you'll hear in just a few moments.
He's been busy at this rehearsal for the past 7 hours today, and certainly has been putting every effort possible into making it the very best he can.
We hope, and he hopes, that you'll like the new Bob and Ray theme that will be heard every night, Monday through Friday, from now on.
Seems to be having a little trouble with that E-flat.
3, 4, 1, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2.
I think he has them pretty near ready now.
Oh, yeah, they're ready. Okay, we're on the air. Go ahead, Pierre.
Well, gee whiz, folks. We don't want to make like we're...
All right, Pierre.
Telling you a bunch of fibs.
Save the orchestra down.
Bob.
That's it, Pierre.
Now, just a second.
Yeah, boy.
Oh, no, come on, Bob. I know that was you.
What? How are you?
I think we've been kidding the folks a little too long.
We're just funding it up.
That's right. We don't even have a live orchestra there. It's a transcription, really. So we want to set the record straight on that.
I think it's a good idea if we set the record straight on a great many things.
Right.
Some controversy about what is and what isn't.
Well,
what's real and what isn't.
And what's rigged and what isn't rigged.
That's right. And we called our cast together today to kind of get their opinions. Webley, how do you feel about the whole situation?
Well, I don't know. I think the whole thing is rigged.
Well, you can't just make a general statement like that.
Well, I'll tell you what, the Cowboy shows are rigged. I know that.
How do you mean that?
Well, the Indians never win, and I know that the Indians used to win once in a while.
They win it sometime, anyway.
But they can't use real bullets, either. Because if you think Paladin's going to get shot on Saturday night, you're crazy.
Well, of course not, but you see, that's all on film. It took place some weeks back, and it isn't happening as you see it.
Sure.
You have to keep that in mind as you watch.
You know, the only thing I think that's genuine is and honest as can be is the weather, because so seldom is the weather what they say.
They're
it
very
will
wrong
be.
About that sometimes,
that's
sure.
That's right.
I mean, you couldn't make book on that
no,
under any circumstances.
That's right. And I...
Hi, Bob and Ray. Wally Blue, Slicky.
Cut it out, Bob.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, don't give the people like that. Let me sit down.
Well, how's everything going, folks?
Oh, that's a sound effect, and we pull a chair around, and Joe Cabibbo, the sound man, did that. Now, come on, let's be honest.
Well, sure, there's no such thing as a Wally Ballou or Webley Webster.
Hi, folks.
Hi, Mary.
Say, have you
Mary
been
Magoon?
Reading,
Pat? Huh? Reading what?
About all the things, that realism we want to bring back.
Yeah, well, that's what we're trying to do. We thought maybe if we told the truth about everything on this show, we could do a great service to everybody.
Well, don't you think that that's a violation of a theatrical promise, really?
Well, in a way, Ray, yes, it is.
Oh, that's right.
You have to have a certain amount of magic in the theater.
Oh, sure. It has to be all make-believe. Fairyland, that's the basis of the theater, isn't it?
That's right. Now I'm going down into the studio audience and see if there's anyone here I can talk to.
Oh, he really isn't, of course. He's not even moving. He's sitting right there at the same...
You, sir.
Yes. Although I'm really Ray. And
you,
still sitting at a microphone.
Let me call you, what could I call you? Mr.
Mr. Hector, let me think of another name. Mr. Hector, Webster. Can I
Hector
use that
Webster.
Name?
Is that all right, Webb?
If you use...
Okay. Mr. Webster, would you tell us where you're from? A real place you're from. Not, don't make it up.
Well, it'll have to be made up. Because I'm not from any place, because I'm not real.
Well, I'm getting a little bit confused by this. How do you feel about...
Grand Platte.
Grand Platte. I think there is such a place as that. So far, we're all right. How do you feel about the subject we've been discussing here?
Well, I don't know. I wonder sometimes about all those private eyes. How come they're always into these troubles? I mean, I've known private eyes in real life who go from, like, 6 months without ever bumping into anything.
Well, I think that's an established fact. I was reading the other day that most of them maybe have one tight scrape in their life.
You know that Gracie Allen doesn't begin to have that many relatives, you know that?
Well, that's probably so, I imagine.
That's a
fact. It affects a theatrical thing.
Sure.
Of course, it isn't Burns and Allen.
Well,
it is Burns and Burns.
You've got to go back up on stage where they can want to dominate your show.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Webster. Impersonated. And back now I'm on the stage.
Nice impersonating walking upstairs, Joe. Really terrific work. Now, let's see. Where are we?
See, once again across the land, it's Thursday. Now, that we know for sure.
Yes. That's right. What about us? Spot, is it?
It's a little worried about Sunday, give on Thursday.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Just a scant 3 days from now, Sunday will be rolling around again, which makes it appropriate for us right now to billboard Sunday's guests on the Mitch Miller Show.
Now, we got this list from the program department. Last time they snowed us a little bit, but I think this is the straight story this time.
Now, visiting Mitch this Sunday will be such show business luminaries as Fred Flinch, human pincushion, who'll demonstrate some of his effects right on the air before your very ears.
Mitch will be talking also to Melba LaFluke, star of stage, screen, telephone, and Punch and Judy shows.
And last but certainly not... Or least, certainly not last, I should say. You'll meet that pop singing group, the Four Tin Ears, whose latest disc, Strolling on Linoleum, has catapulted them into overnight oblivion.
So be sure to be listening for the sparkling Mitch Miller Show Sunday night on CBS Radio.
Yeah, really think he'll have those people visiting him?
Well, as we've just been discussing, we can't tell. But we'll have to listen and find out, I guess. Huh?
Well, I don't think those people will be on. I think...
He'll have real
make believe and try to be
funny. I don't think this came from the program department.
You guys are trying to be funny then, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he'll have real genuine guests, I'll bet.
Is the writer of this piece of promotional copy here with us today?
Yes, I am. And it is made up.
All right.
I thought it was funny.
And you are made up too, is that right?
I'm made
up. What are you made up as?
I'm made up as the King's Jester.
Uh huh. All right, we'll get right over to the rehearsal because we have some things to do here. A recording.
Once again, it's time for Broken Down Old Grand Motel. A speck of a place, a heck of a place. Owned and operated by Leonard Humphrey and his daughter, Naomi. Today we find them on Route 66, busily working on an idea to increase business at Grand Motel.
Well, Naomi, one more nail and the sign will be in place. There. How's she look?
Fine, Dad. I'm glad you asked me to paint the sign. It gives me a sense of participation.
Yeah, let me stand back and look at her. Grand Motel, excellent lodgings, free continental breakfast served at all times, 400 yards ahead.
How do you like the picture of Grand Motel I drew on it, Dad?
Well, it don't look nothing like Grand Motel, Naomi, and I'm grateful for that. Now, we better be getting back, because if this sign works the way I think it'll work, we'll be snowed under. Let's go.
Gosh, Dad, it's been 6 hours since we put up the sign. Nary a bite so far. Cars are whizzing by like 60. Are you sure you measured the distance right? Are you sure it's 400 yards from here to the sign, Dad?
I paced it off myself, Naomi.
Well, maybe the sign fell down. I think we better go see.
Yeah, you're right. It's worth putting up. It's worth looking after. Let's go.
Well, let's get out and take a look, Dad.
Naomi, look at that. Look what some skunk went and done. Added a comma and two zeros to the 400 yards. Reads 40,000 yards now. No wonder we wasn't getting no customers.
Dad, I'm sorry.
No, it ain't your fault, Naomi.
What are we going to do, Dad?
Well, I'm going to wet my handkerchief down in the creek there, and we'll wash off them extra zeros.
Is it wet yet, Dad?
Well, if it ain't, there's something wrong with the water back in the creek there.
Hey, let me wash the sign. That's a woman's job.
Well, suit yourself, Naomi.
Give me the wet hanky, Dad.
What's that? What's happening to the sign? There's colors running all over the place.
Oh, gosh, Dad, it's my fault. I don't work with anything but watercolors. I'd have given anything if this didn't happen.
Well, me too, Naomi.
I'll do it over again. This time I'll do it in India ink.
Naomi, I've been thinking. Ain't nothing but grit and grime out here. How'd you like to go to a fancy Eastern school?
But, Dad, I'd never leave you and Grand Motel.
Come right down to it. A man can't count on nothing no more.
And so Leonard Humphrey's troubles mount out on Highway 66 as the old man is thwarted once again in his effort to make a paying venture out of Grand Motel. Thank you, sir. Well, I mean, really, not talking to the wall when I say that.
Talking to that turntable over there.
Sure. Yes, of course.
We came across rather an interesting thing the other day, though. A gentleman who has gone into a new business, which he hopes is going to be quite successful, that of manufacturing gargoyles. And he's here with us now. You are Prentice L. Hargrove, is that right?
He couldn't come.
Well, then, who are you?
I'm Nelson Hawker.
Mr. Hawker, just...
I'm a grotesque manufacturer.
We have to be rather brief about this, but...
Well, you look all right to me.
Well, I get that joke pulled out of me all the time.
Yeah, because you manufacture gargoyles.
And, not only gargoyles, but any other grotesques. We manufacture them to order in some cases.
Well, is there a good market for this?
Not as good a market as...
I haven't seen a gargoyle on a building for years. I don't... A new building.
Well, I was just going to trip you up there. Yes, they're on plenty of old buildings, but they're not on many new buildings, that's right. But I don't even know what you asked.
Well, the new buildings are all clean and smooth, line architecture. Who do you sell gargoyles to?
Well, the market isn't as big or as wide, I should say, as it used to be. We try to sell them now as a doorstop, wedding gifts, lawn ornaments, maybe.
I should think on a lawn they might look...
Occasionally some people want them just to keep bad spirits away. Uh-huh. Put them up on top of the garage.
Well, I think that might be the coming thing for them.
Well, I hope so, and it's, as I say, it's touch and go with us pretty much.
Very well, Mr. Hawker.
I'll tell Prentice, though, that you treated me greatly.
Right, and thank you for dropping by. We'll have an important phrase for you in just 10 seconds.
Here's an important phrase, fat globules. And until tomorrow, a very Amtrak right if you get work in our building.
From Bob Elliott, a very transcribed Hang By Your Thumb.
All on tape.
CBS newsmen reveal the world tonight, every night on the CBS Radio Network.